This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Those who search their family genealogy can sometimes find some fun and interesting people in their lineage. One person's family history, however, has eternal consequences for us. We are going to talk about the importance of his ancestors for the life today and our future. So please continue to listen.
Some days the world looks and feels like it's spinning totally out of control as we watch the news, and it leaves us feeling worried and anxious and hopeless. God's Word has something encouraging to say to us today about that. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you this day for your faithfulness. You have shown nothing but patience and goodness and grace towards this world you created. While we were lost in our sin, you gave us the greatest gift of all, Jesus, to rescue us and to make us your own. And so we pause and say, thank you, Father, for loving us. Amen. As we get ready to celebrate the birth of Christ this week, I thought it fitting that we look at Matthew chapter 1, the family tree of Jesus. It's a long list, so stay with me because it has a great message for us. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And King David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Whew. Dear friends, I don't know about you, but I have found that watching the late night news can be a very poor sedative. It can actually keep you awake at night with all kinds of frightening and worrisome things to ponder. ISIS terrorists, the Ebola epidemic, economic uncertainties, job layoffs, racial unrest, health care costs rising, scandals in government and the church, the never-ending Mideast tensions, global warming, rising crime, changing social mores and the morals of our society. And you wonder, what kind of a world are our kids going to face when they grow up? Some days, as you take in the news, you might even start feeling like we're on a runaway train, and the engineer seems to have jumped off somewhere along the way. And it can actually make you feel rather hopeless. How can a Christian stay at peace in the midst of all these things going on around us? How can we sleep at night? God has a word for us today about that. When the world is looking crazy and out of control and you're having doubts about the future, there's a passage that I found to be very helpful in Scripture. You find it at the front end of Matthew's Gospel. It's that genealogy that I read rather hurriedly for you. I know, it looks like something to be skipped over to get to the real interesting stuff. But it's there because it's so much more than that. It's a reassuring walk down memory lane as we look at the long list of Jesus' grandpas and grandmas. It covers a lot of history. First, read that opening line again and then remember the last line. The opening line says, a genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, son of David, son of Abraham. Well, you remember Abraham. In Genesis 12, we first meet him. The world is broken to pieces because of humanity's sin, and God calls upon Abraham and makes a promise to him that he's going to bless him and that he would make him a blessing to the families of the earth. From his descendants would come a blessing to the world. So there's God setting off this promise. And then you get to the second name in that statement, King David. He was promised that his family line, his dynasty, would stand forever, be kings. We see that in 2 Samuel 7. And after we meet Abraham and David, the genealogy snakes its way through 42 generations of folks and finally is completed as we see the name at the end, Jesus, who is called the Messiah, the Anointed One. Again and again, as we look at the history behind these names that are listed, and the way that Matthew has this broken up in the three different segments of history, it appeared that this plan of God's, this promise he made to Abraham and to David, was going to fall by the wayside because of circumstances. We see the Israelites experiencing famine, and so they go to Egypt, and they become slaves in Egypt, and they look lost, and they get back to the promised land after God brings them back, but eventually they cave in and are deported to Babylon. And when they come back from Babylon, there's an oppression by the Greeks and the Romans, and life just doesn't add up for them. The odds, as you read this history, seem heavily stacked against those promises God made ever being fulfilled. There's a lot of dark stuff going on in that history. And yet, look at that last name. Jesus, called the Messiah. There he is, in the manger at Bethlehem. The blessing to all the families of the earth. The king promised to David. God seems to be saying to us in this genealogy, see, I did it. Just like I said I would. There's Jesus. I kept my word. The famine couldn't starve it. 400 years of slavery couldn't kill it. 40 years of wilderness wanderings couldn't stop it. Weak humans lacking faith couldn't get in the way. Unfaithful kings could not destroy it. Babylonian captivity couldn't end it. And political oppression could not kill it. I had my way. Christmas is God's promise fulfilled. His rescue plan accomplished. It's a reminder in this genealogy and the Christmas story itself that our God keeps his word. I find it interesting, too, how he does it. What an interesting ragtag bunch of grandparents of Jesus are listed here. In reality, they are not so great grandparents. You see, there's a lot of dirty laundry to be found amongst those names when you go back and read about them in the Old Testament. Every one of them is kind of a weak, clay-footed pilgrim that God chose to use. Look at Abraham. He lied to save his own skin early on, told the Pharaoh that Sarah was not his wife but his sister, for fear of his life. Jacob was a swindler. Judah sold his brother Joe to the Ishmaelites. Rahab was a prostitute. Tamar played the role of a prostitute to trick her father-in-law. Bathsheba was an adulteress, and David, an adulterer and murderer. Solomon, in all his wisdom, had all those wives and started worshiping other idols and created great hardship for the people of Israel until they were ready to rebel and divide the kingdom. His son Rehoboam followed in his footsteps and drove the north away from the south, causing all sorts of political implications and worries for the future. We've got Manasseh, who sacrificed his own children to the idols. And then there's that deportation to Babylon and a long list following the return of no names. They're not kings. They're living under the oppression of the Greeks and the Romans. It looks rather hopeless, this group that God is working with, but God still managed to use them for his purposes, to get them to that manger. Why did God use these people? Have you ever wondered that? And why did God keep an entire Old Testament to attest to their blunders and foibles? And then here in the New Testament, remind us of them again in this historical list. I think it's rather simple. Perhaps God knew that people like you and me down the line would watch the news and worry. To look at life around us and sense that it's totally out of control and wonder if he's deserted us. He wants to make sure with this list that when we see the world getting crazy and wild and seemingly out of control, he is still there, calm and in charge. And his purposes will be accomplished. The proof, again, read that last name on the list. In spite of those not-so-great grandparents, the last name in that list is the first one that was promised to Abraham. Jesus, the Messiah. The one they had been waiting for. The birth of Jesus is a promise kept, a plan fulfilled, God having his way, and that list shows us that he is more powerful than any obstacle thrown his way or any circumstance or any weak clay-footed pilgrim, powerful enough to use any person for his purposes. His will be done. Of course, it's important to ask, what's the story behind the promise anyway? Why was this promise made? The name of Jesus says it all. It means that name, to save. Matthew tells us a few verses after the genealogy that the angel told Joseph he will save his people from their sins. You see, the world was broken and lost, and God hatched this plan as he listened to the footsteps of Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Eden, that he was going to restore the relationship. The world was broken and needed to be put back together again. It needed saving, and God set out and did it. And it came to fruition at that manger. And you know what he did, this child in the manger? He grew up and he died on a cross for your sins and mine, so that we could have a restored relationship with the God who loves us. God raised him up on the third day and promises that everyone who trusts in him shall have eternal life. life forever in relationship with Him. So thank God for this list of not-so-great grandparents and this reminder of this long history preceding Jesus that He included in the front end of Matthew's gospel. He's given us a big picture to minister to us when we lie awake at night, sometimes worrying about the future and think about our kids' future, wondering if we're on a runaway train and God's deserted. This is good news. It tells us that history is His story. God is faithful and in control, and He has the final word. In fact, He has written the end of the story. That Savior who arrived as a humble baby in a manger will one day make another appearance in history, in power and glory over this whole world. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Evil will be vanquished, the creation will be restored. And that's why we tell the world it's important that you say yes to Jesus now and follow Him. And as those of us who have said yes to Christ wait for His reappearing in power and majesty, this little list of grandparents again reminds us and calls us to put our trust in Christ and in His promises and His power, that no matter how dark things may seem some days, God keeps His word. And we can live confidently knowing that He has the final word. The one who endures to the end, trusting in Jesus Christ, Jesus promised, shall be saved. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. Jesus promised, I will not leave you orphaned and on your own. Trust Him. Nuclear or biochemical wars are no threat to God. Yo-yo economics don't intimidate Him. Immoral crazy leaders have never been able to derail His plan because history is His story. His will be done. We know the end. The family tree in Matthew is simply an encouraging word from God to those of us who sometimes lose hope and lie awake at night worrying. It's His good news. It's Him saying to us, see, I keep my word. I always have, I always will. My son, my daughter, trust me. Now go to sleep. I'll stay up and keep watch and stay in charge. Merry Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, sometimes we forget how great and faithful You are, that You hold this world in the palm of Your hand, and You have the final say over everything and everyone. We lose sight of the fact that You have won the battle over sin and death and the devil through Your Son Jesus, and that history is Your story. Forgive us for our forgetfulness, our short-sightedness, and help us to keep our eyes on the big picture, that nothing can separate us from Your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May He look upon you with favor and give you His peace, and may you have a blessed Christmas. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As you prepare your heart to celebrate the birth of Christ Child this coming week, we pray today's message has helped fill you with peace, resting securely in the knowledge that God is in charge and He's always faithful. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the financial gifts of our listeners. We are especially grateful for our gift every month, GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. Now, if you're interested in supporting Christian Crusaders in this way, please contact our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Hundreds of other messages are also available in our online library. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are also available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo, Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you were able to worship with us this day and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders. From all of us at Christian Crusaders to you, may God grant you a blessed Merry Christmas.